asked them to do something upbeat because I was afraid I'd cry if they did something sappy. So, thank you.
Dear friends, it is time to say goodbye, and there are so many things I want to share with you. So many things I want to say one last time, but there is a 10 o'clock service I have to get to, so I won't say them all. Just a few. I am always amazed at how deeply I can fall in love with a congregation. The first week I stood up here in this sea of faces and I knew only a couple of people. A few weeks ago I served communion, and as you came forward, I knew not only faces but names and stories. You were no longer strangers, but people I love, people whose stories are now intertwined with mine. Those tears that were streaming down my face were tears of love and appreciation. Shortly after we arrived, the meal train showed us love in the typical church fashion with food. We do food well. Wonderful food that was brought to us. In fact, we were discussing this the other night, and my children still remember how good the food was from 3 years ago. You all are amazing cooks. You brought us food so that we could concentrate on getting our home into order. And those simple acts of love were the first that we saw of this congregation, of how you show Christ's love to others. As we settled in, you do what you do best. You loved on us. Craig and I have made some special friendships here. However, loving on our children has really shown how you shine in the light of Christ. Our son was in high school at the time, and he found extra grandparents to spoil him, and a mentor and a friend to help him fit in. Our oldest daughter has found a wonderful group of friends. She has also been blessed with some very special adults who are there for her, not because she's the preacher's kid, but because they love her for who she is and all of her quirkiness. Our youngest daughter, who is a bit on the shy side, fell instantly in love with the nursery staff. This is a huge thing. She doesn't warm up to just anybody. But our nursery staff has so much love to give, she couldn't help it. She has also been blessed with some special friends and loves being a part of the children's choir. But what you did for us was not special treatment. You will extend that love to any family who is ready to experience the love of Christ. You support those who are single. You advocate for the elderly and lend a listening ear to the struggling parent. Through interfaith hospitality, you welcome with open arms families who are in the midst of transition, and you expect nothing in return. You mentor children in the Whiz Kids program and fall in love with them and their families. And sometimes those relationships have lasted much longer than a school year. You have loved on the students in Vertical Impact by feeding them, mentoring them, providing them a safe space, and giving them the staffing they need to grow in faith. Thank you for letting me be a part of your lives. I have enjoyed being with my small group at Ferrari's or meeting for drinks at Coffee Please. I have loved the drive up Indian Hill Road, especially last winter when all that ice was there and it looked like I was driving through diamonds. It was just gorgeous. But I will miss you. Together we have grieved the loss of some of our saints. We have struggled through illnesses and the frustrations of life. We have celebrated the birth of children, and I have had the privilege to baptize some of those same children. We've watched them grow, and as they grow, we realize that we too are changing and growing. As I leave, I give you one final thought. Love courageously. Do not be afraid of what is to come. Do not be paralyzed by fear. Jesus told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." When God's love fills our hearts, there's no room for fear, for perfect love drives out fear. We're living in a time where acting out in love is challenging when it's outside the church walls, and sometimes it's even challenging inside the church walls. We have made every issue into right or wrong, us versus them. We are fearful to speak because we might offend or alienate our friends. We're afraid to act because of the backlash of the extreme conservatives and the extreme liberals. So we become paralyzed, doing nothing, and resort to posting funny cat videos and tweeting about the latest sporting events. Have courage. There are a lot of great people in the Bible who did amazing things despite their fear. Abraham was afraid to follow God despite God's promise of blessing to him to be the father of the nations. His wife Sarai was also afraid. As Jacob became a great leader, he was afraid of his father-in-law and he was afraid of God. Joseph's brothers were afraid of him when they bowed down before their brother, not realizing who it was. Moses and Aaron, Gideon, Ruth, Samuel, Esther, Joseph, the disciples, and even Paul were all afraid at one time or another during their ministries. However, God turned that fear into courage. Yes, there is reason to be afraid. Our country is divided in many ways over many issues. In February, the United Methodist Church is facing a significant decision about how we relate to one another. Closer to home, this associate position is changing into something new and different that has not fully been defined yet. Yet the Holy Spirit is present in the midst of all of that. So do not be afraid. I recently heard a child say, "I am only afraid of things I don't know." How true that is. It is hard to believe now, but once the potato was a highly unpopular food. The potato. In fact, it was so unpopular that people were afraid of it and they would not eat the potatoes. Sir Walter Raleigh brought the potato into England and people did not respond well. Newspapers printed editorials against it. Ministers preached sermons against it. Can you see that now? Don't eat a potato. You're going to hell for eating potatoes. I mean, really, preaching that just blows my mind. And the public just would not go anywhere near these potatoes. It was supposed to ruin the soil and sterilize it, cause mental illness and death. I mean, potatoes were just a bad, bad thing. But there were a few people out there who said, this isn't true. These potatoes are a good thing. And so in France, they did things a little bit differently. A French man named Pamiteire took a different approach. He'd been a prisoner of war in England and had been exposed to these potatoes. And although they were different, he thought they might have some value. So he started a farm when he returned to France. And it was an experimental farm, and he planted lots and lots of potatoes. And then he hired guards to guard the fields. And then he got the dignitaries of the day to come through when the potatoes were about done and pull up potatoes and try them and eat them and look like they were enjoying them. I don't know how you enjoy a raw potato, but they were enjoying the potatoes out of the field. And all these soldiers are there. And then slowly he starts to remove some of the soldiers so there aren't quite so many. And finally, one night, a soldier comes running and tells him, "I'm so sorry, but all the potatoes have been stolen. There are no potatoes left." And this entrepreneur said, "When the people will steal in order to procure potatoes, their popularity is assured." Can you imagine being afraid of eating a potato? It sounds so silly now. But it wasn't silly at the time. We often fear what we don't understand. But that perfect love drives out fear. While attending Perkins School of Theology in Dallas, Texas, I worked at a United Methodist mission on the west side of town. The mission was located in the heart of the Hispanic community. I was excited when I was first starting to work there, but I was also afraid. How would I communicate there since my Spanish is muy mal? Would I be safe? There was a lot of crime in that area. Could I even make a difference? But those fears soon subsided. The people of the community began to realize that this gringo was there to show love, not condemnation. They taught me where I should and should not go. And the children would translate for me when I struggled with the language, never ever making fun of my feeble attempts to speak Spanish. I tutored the children in math and English, and they tutored me in the Christian traditions of Mexico and gave me an appreciation for the Mexican and Central American cultures. Once I understood that community, I was no longer afraid. Once I began to love the people, fear completely vanished. Christ's perfect love had driven out fear. Do not be afraid. I am often most afraid when I don't know what's going to happen next. Yes, I have control issues. I want to know everything and how it's all going to work out. And those fears are often raising their heads during times of transition. In junior high, I was terrified I was going to be stuffed into a locker. I'm not exactly tall. And the lockers, they were those big full-size lockers, and I thought, I'm going to end up in a locker. So one of my friends who was a teacher found the smallest student she could find and asked him if he would get in the locker and see if he could fit. He didn't fit. So I felt so much better going to junior high knowing that I could not possibly physically get stuffed into a locker. The irrational fears that we have. When I got to college, I was afraid I wasn't going to make any new friends. I went out on a limb. I went to a school that nobody else had gone to in my class. I was at Otterbein College, and I didn't know anybody, but the roommate I met when I arrived, who happened to know this guy named Craig, who I ended up dating the first week, and that was a really good friend to keep around for 25 years. Before James was born, I was terrified it was going to be a long labor and I would not be able to handle the pain. I was half right, it was a long labor, but I was able to handle it. And I did not fear, well, as much, when Elizabeth and Lila were born. Fear can paralyze us, or it can motivate us to be prepared for the changes that come. So have courage. Do not be afraid of change. There is constant change in our world, but also in our understanding of the church. Our worship services and music change to reach a new generation. We have to realize that our grandchildren are biblically and spiritually illiterate. We can no longer afford to do the same old thing in the church. We have to reach the community in new and innovative ways. We are called to show them the perfect love of Christ. Have courage. Allow God to transform you through Christ's perfect love. I'll let you in on a secret. This is my 400th sermon, but it's really only one sermon preached 400 times. And that sermon is to allow ourselves to be transformed by the love of Christ. That's what I've been saying over and over again. I just dress it up differently every week. Let God change you from the inside out. When you do this, life gets really exciting and nerve-wracking and extremely rewarding at the same time. In the Greek Isles, one can go and see the home of Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine. And you can find there this olive tree that they believe was from that same time period. So this olive tree is 2,400 years old. So picture with me this tree. It is huge, and it is held up by poles to keep the branches from falling down, and it's pretty much hollow, and it produces what, maybe 3 olives a year, and that's it. It's just this mammoth tree that is just there. But if you go outside of town a little bit, there are some real olive trees, and those olive trees have fruit, and they produce olives you can eat, and they produce olives that make wonderful olive oil. They are far more productive than that 2,400-year-old tree, archaic and unique as it may be. Do you know churches or even people who are like that old olive tree? The form is there, but the function is not. They have stopped reproducing and are satisfied with being big or just having a noble history. God does not want us to be some hollow tree or relic of faith. God wants us to be living, growing fruit and having branches that just keep producing more and more fruit of love and grace. We must allow ourselves to be constantly transformed despite our deepest fears. Have courage. Let go. Let loose of those things that you must control. Live in this chaos of our lives and time. Joshua had to lead the Israelites into battle. No one really wants to go to war, but they had little choice. This chaos is what God had chosen for them. In his pep talk to the people, Joshua said to them, "Do not be afraid or dismayed. Be strong and courageous." God was with the Israelites then, and God continues to be with us now, even when we do not understand what is happening and do not know the end of the story. Every time we have moved, we do not truly know what God has in store for us. Sometimes the appointments have gone smoothly, and other times there have been struggles. Yet I trust that God knows the end of the story, endings that I do not often see. So for now, we must say goodbye. As a United Methodist pastor, there are some expectations about leaving. I will no longer be your pastor, so I cannot provide pastoral care for you. I will not be visiting with you, attending graduations or special events without permission. I will not perform weddings or funerals. To help in the transitions, I will unfriend members of the church from Facebook. This will allow me time to connect into my new community and give you the opportunity to connect with new staff members. After 6 months, you can send me a friend request and we can reconnect as friends because I will no longer be your pastor. But have courage. Take some risks. Be willing to fail, but be prepared to succeed. Most of all, love God with your heart, soul, and being. You are a congregation with a rich heritage. You are an important part of this community and the east side of Cincinnati. You are generous with your gifts, with your time, and with your love. You have a deep and diverse faith. Build on these strengths and remember what Isaiah said. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. I will remember you with fondness and wish you all the best. I will continue to hold you in my prayers. It is my prayer that you will become bold and courageous witnesses to the perfect love of Christ in this community and around the world. Let God's love push out all your fears and let us go in peace. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for the many blessings in our lives. We thank you for this congregation who is ready to serve you. And so, Lord, we ask you just to push out that fear that we may have and instead fill it with your love so that we are better able to serve you wherever you have called us to go. In your name we pray. Amen.
Of Staff Parish, unfortunately, was called to grandparent duty. Can you imagine the burden? But his heartache was that he could not be here with Pastor Kathleen and her family on their final Sunday. But he extended the love and support of that community and wanted you as a people of faith to respond in this litany that's prepared for you in our program today. And so will you share this with us?
I thank you, the members and friends of Armstrong Chapel United Methodist Church, for the love and support you have shown me while I have ministered among you. I am grateful for the ways my leadership has been accepted. I ask forgiveness for the mistakes I have made. As I leave, I carry with me all that I have learned here.
We receive your thankfulness, offer forgiveness, and accept that you now leave to minister elsewhere. We express our gratitude for your time among us. We ask your forgiveness for our mistakes. Your influence on our faith and faithfulness will not leave us with your departure.
I accept your gratitude and forgiveness, and I forgive you, trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God. I release you from turning to me and depending on me. I encourage your continuing ministry here, and I will pray for you. So let us pray together.
Eternal God, whose steadfast love for us is from everlasting to everlasting, we give you thanks for cherished memories
and command one into your care as we move in new directions. Keep us one in your love forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.